Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is one of the founders of Camp Bestival, which has now been running for 20 years, well, Bestival in general. And there is now a new book called Camp Bestival at Home, Have a Family Festival Every Day. Today's guest, I'm very delighted. She's a mum of four boys, so I'm always out for the tips when it comes to boys. It's Josie DeBank. Hello!
Oh, hi. Hi, hi, hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really good. Really good.
I feel like you're on the whole, on the other side. Like, your older three are now, you know, they're older. They're teenagers. So I feel like you've gone through the other side of it.
I've got Arlo, who's 18 in a few weeks. Merlin, who's 16 in a few weeks, and Miller, who's nearly 14. So yeah, I've got three teenagers who are much taller than me. And very different, very opinionated. Like, yeah, it's like living with a lot of grown men.
Yeah. But it must feel like very different when you've got, even the height thing must feel surprising. I remember Emma Freud, when she came on, she was talking about how it's a very different vibe when they can suddenly put their arm around your shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm small anyway, and they're all getting taller, a lot taller than me. And Merlin is taller than Robbie, and Robbie's quite tall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's lovely because you just get great big hugs all the time, you know? They really,
yeah,
they're big and lovely.
Yeah, and then you've got Eli, who is seven.
Yes, Eli is seven, a cheeky little soul. Actually, it's great having a little one.
Really?
When our job is all about families and festivals, and he reminds me how, you know, what little kids need. It's a great balance. It's hard, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What was your childhood like? Did you grow up going to festivals or anything like that?
I thought you might ask me that. No, I didn't. I lived in Southport near Liverpool.
Right.
It was quite boring in a lovely way, but in, you know, a two up, two down, gorgeous mum and dad, still together, a brother. But I was like, oh my God, I need more. I need I need to be in a much noisier, creative environment. I was literally like crawling up the walls, wanting to get out and do something different. You know, I knew I wanted a big family, a big house with a, not a big house, but a lot going on.
Yeah.
Dogs, chickens, goats, colour and stuff.
That's amazing. Because I think some people, when they're younger, they don't think about the future in terms of having a family and what that family dynamic is. But for some people, they really do. And you're one of those.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I knew, I didn't know how many children I wanted. I knew I wanted a busy, lovely, caring home. But I,
I
knew I wanted a sort of a different lifestyle than what I was brought up with.
And then meeting Rob, how was that? And at what point, like, do you remember talking about family life? Because you've been together 31 years now, haven't you?
Yeah, so 33, I think, this year. So I met when I was 18 at Goldsmiths Uni. He was studying French literature with art history, and I was doing textiles. And he was very, it was the first year. He was quite flirtatious, and we got together, and we've not looked back. Pretty nuts. But we didn't talk about having children at all until we were going on holiday to France in our camper van. I think I was 31, and I really knew that I wanted kids. And I looked in my diary and just did a bit of research that that was the window that I could get pregnant, and sort of mumbled on the ferry that it might be a nice idea, and got pregnant.
And you hadn't talked about it at all before that?
Not really, no. I just knew it was right.
So by that point, you'd been together, say, 13 years. How would you describe that section in your life? And also, I think when you get together younger, so me and my husband have been, we've known each other since we were 13, but we've been together since we were 18. And I do think that when you get together at a younger age, you're still kids. And I don't think necessarily that is something that you factor into the equation then. It always feels like something you'll do when you're a grown-up, you know, further down the line.
Yeah, but it was quite organic. We just sort of grew into each other and got on. And we've also worked together since we were 23.
Yeah.
Which is quite amazing. And we still do.
Yeah, that's really incredible. And am I right in thinking that Best of All had already started? Well, yeah, Best of All would have already begun before you fell pregnant. So you had already birthed one baby together, if you like.
Yes. So I got pregnant on the second Best of All in June, I think. Mm-hmm. So we did our second Best of All on the Isle of Wight, and I was pregnant and not telling anybody and keeping it a secret. Yeah. So for the first 10 years of Best of All, I was, you know, either having a baby or breastfeeding or running around with toddlers. And yeah, I loved it, actually. It was so, so good.
Do you feel like that's really fueled, in the same way that you talk about Eli, I guess, has it really fueled what you create when it comes to Camp Best of All? You know, what the vibe is, how inclusive it is for families and things like that. Do you reckon that's really fed into it?
Oh, yeah, twofold. So I remember giving birth to Arlo and thinking, oh, I really need a festival for him. And talking to Robbie and saying, can we change Best of All into a family affair? And Robbie was like, no, it's working. And I said, well, let's go and look at Lulworth Castle, because that's a great bit of land, and talk about, you know, having a family festival. And it was just born then from having Arlo by our side.
Yeah.
The content of the show changes as the kids get older. Now there's still lots of little kids that come, toddlers, you know, Eli's age, and there's lots of teenagers that come as well.
Yeah.
To go to their first festival and be free and a little independent in that environment. So there's something for everyone. And having kids, yeah, I couldn't do it unless I was a mum of four.
Yeah.
They all come with me and they work. The older ones work on Arlo's Uncreative Crew. Merlin's got his sweet shop.
Wow.
Yeah, he's run his own sweet shop since he was 11. He's a bit of an entrepreneur, Merlin.
Right, okay.
And then Miller helps me with the site management. He's really into sort of mechanics and motorbikes and yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, and also I think as a kid, you really look forward to your summer holidays. And for them, a massive part of their summer would have been Camp Bestival and having the excitement around that.
Yeah. I mean, we've never really had a summer.
Yeah.
It's all about work, but we all go together.
Yeah.
We camp at both shows with our friends and, you know, we get stuck in. I'm there for a few weeks building it, which I love. And now I've got the kids by my side building it. So can't complain. It's good.
I mean, so looking back over the last 20 years, you know, how everything started compared to now, it must feel quite mind-blowing to think how life has changed in that period.
Yeah. I mean, we were so lucky back then, weren't we? Even, you know, raising kids 18 years ago was so much easier.
Do you think?
Twofold. There was no, you know, iPads, phones, screen time. You'd put the TV on, there'd only be CBeats. You know, there was no TikTok and YouTube. And it's such a battle now.
How does that feel? As someone who is really creative, because I know you love a craft and the book is full of amazing different ideas of creating and crafting and diving into your imagination. For someone who is that way inclined and absolutely saw herself with a family and that creativity being around it, which it very much does exist. But having this external thing like a phone, like an iPad that's lingering, especially with teenage boys, you know, how is that juggle?
Arlo, my eldest, he's not really interested in his phone or social media. And I think that comes because he wasn't brought up with it. And he's really, you know, he gets home from school and he puts his phone away and he's got his sketchbook out and it's not a battle with him. It really upsets me. You know, I just want to throw them all away. And we've got, you know, Eli is allowed his iPad. Or go to go, he hasn't got his own iPad, but he's allowed on an iPad on Friday when he gets home from school for an hour and Saturday and Sunday for an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon. But it's such a battle, especially when you get them home from school and you've got to take a call and they always say, can I go on your phone? And you're just like, no. But then you end up giving in sometimes because you're juggling.
You're juggling, and also we're having to do it because all of our work is on our phones or on our laptops. It's kind of, it's almost hypocritical of us, isn't it? To kind of go, no, you can't do that actually. And then go back to your phone and go to your emails. For you, having the 10, 11 years between the eldest and the youngest, you must really see the difference in how you were able to parent or like engage with the two of them. I mean, they are different children anyway, but definitely having those devices there now in a different way, you must really feel it.
Yeah, I do. There was a lot less pressure back then.
Let's go back to early days of parenting. First of all, finding out after a very quick attempt at getting pregnant, finding out that you were pregnant. What was that like? Because obviously if it wasn't something that you'd kind of spoken about together, that's a big old shift between you. So what was it like finding out?
I felt really good. I just knew it was the right time. It was just a switch in me. You know, I hadn't thought about it too much. And I was just so lucky to be able to get pregnant. You know, I really felt lucky. And I just sort of just took it one day at a time.
Did you find out with any of the boys their sex?
The third one, I asked the doctor to write it on a piece of paper. Right. And give it to Robbie. And I said, I don't want to know, but I just want you to know, just have the piece of paper in case there's a moment where I feel like
you might like to know. Yeah.
And about 6 months in, I asked him to open it. It was another boy.
And had you? Yeah. I feel like though, when people know that you've got boys and you're pregnant, there's a lot of, oh, are you hoping for a girl? Like, I know I got that a lot third time round. And you kind of have to go, no, I just want a nice, healthy baby. But it seems to be a massive topic of conversation. So I wonder if some people just find out simply so they can go, it's a girl or it's a boy, you know, just so they can go, let's stop all the speculation of what he or she is going to be.
I know that I did want a girl.
Did you?
I mean, I wasn't desperate, but I think when I got to the third pregnancy, I was really hoping, I think, it was a girl. I felt like it should have been a girl. And then I really got a grip and thought, actually, I am a boy's mum. I so suit parenting boys. It was meant to be. It was, amazing.
In a way, I wonder if it was a good thing that you found out during the pregnancy then so that you could get your head around that a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think I came to that conclusion and it was great.
Were all your births very varied?
Yeah, so the first two were at home.
Oh, wow.
Arlo was born in the spare bedroom.
Okay.
I had a lovely midwife called Natalie and Glennis. And he was born on an Indian blanket. And he sleeps with that blanket on his bed still today. It's so lovely.
Oh, I love that.
And he was about 3 hours. And it was incredible. I felt like it was just the best moment of my life. It felt amazing. And again, I felt deeply grateful that it was really straightforward, very painful, but really straightforward. I did loads of hypnobirthing. I really got into that hypnobirthing space. Yeah. Merlin was born 2 weeks after the due date at home, and he shot out with one contraction.
No way.
Yeah, in 15 minutes. It was just sort of like, he just, flew out.
See, my second was like that. And I always felt like it was almost like my body expelled him. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like there was no option. I just had to let my body do what it wanted to do.
Yeah, well, you can't control it, can you? And I was really shaking afterwards for about 4 hours. It just, the force, he had a really big head and it was just like, he just flew out. I think there was about 4 inches of water in the birthing pool. On my first birth, Robbie went to make a pizza just as Arlo was crowning. I was like, what are you doing?
Did he put the pizza away and change his mind?
No, we cooked it and it burnt. And as soon as I'd given birth, he said, I'm just going to go and get the pizza out of the oven. And because he was hungry.
So in subsequent births, you learnt, and then, you know, there was a snack bowl for Rob to have at any given moment.
Yeah, probably got his own snack bowl. And then the third, I had done a typical Josie of deciding we were going to move and refurnishing a house in 6 weeks and moving in a few days before Miller was due. And I had it all planned to be at home, and it just wasn't. I wasn't feeling relaxed or right or comfortable in this new house.
Yeah.
And I think that really goes a long way, you know, just being at peace with your surroundings. And he was induced, actually. I had to go to hospital because I think we'd got to 16 days over, and he flew out in the end.
Did it feel different being in a hospital?
I was in and out quite quickly. I was just so grateful to get him out, to be honest, and healthy and safe. And I think really in the end, there's no prizes for how you give birth. It doesn't matter.
No,
it really doesn't matter. So the fourth, Eli, he was a surprise, and he was due a week before Camp Bestival. No, he was due on the weekend of Camp Bestival. And I really wanted a C-section, actually, but the doctors said no. I just knew that I didn't have it in me to birth another baby naturally. I just didn't. I'm quite strong, but there was something in me. Anyway, I booked myself in for an induction, and within a few hours it had gone wrong and I had to have a C-section.
Really?
Yeah. So lesson learned there. And maybe I should have really followed my heart and just said, actually, you know, I'm a bit older. I know I don't want to do this. Please, can I book in for a C-section? You know, it would have been a lot easier and a lot safer. But it's, you know, it's full on, especially when you're working.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Do you have anything in place to help you with that juggle? And has it had to change over the years? Because me and Tom, every now and then, we sort of sit down and go, oh, something's got to give within this scenario. And, you know, obviously it can't be family life. But how do you make it work? Or do you have to give yourself a little bit of forgiveness when there's certain times of the year when you simply know it's going to be a bit more hectic?
Yeah, it's such a juggle every year. I'd still need help over the festivals with Eli, and getting it right is always tricky. You know, he just wants to be with us, and he wants to work like his brothers are working, and I feel bad. I feel guilty. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard.
Does Rob feel that guilt? You know, the same thing that us women have to go through.
Well, I mean, Robbie is an incredible dad, but when he has to go, when he's going to work or he's going away to work, he does more now they're older in terms of English essays and deadlines and uni applications. But the childcare, it's see you later. It's always sat with me, and it's my role. It's hard. It's kind of, that's been the biggest struggle, I think, of my parenting life.
Oh, really?
Just getting it right and feeling comfortable with it so you don't feel too guilty.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? I think everyone always says, you know, how do you juggle it? How do you get it right? Well, how do you manage it? It's because you need to have that support around you. There's no way that everyone can be doing the amount of stuff that they do without that support in whatever guise that looks. You know, you do need that pool around you to help.
Yeah, you do. And you also need to be able to go out with your husband on your own and just have a bit of time and space. So it's,
yeah,
that's really important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As the children have got older, has there been certain sort of stages or ages that are a bit trickier or easier than the others? Which ones have you really enjoyed?
I loved having three little ones.
Really?
It's so nice. I love that feeling of that little hand in your hand and them painting and making and not answering back. I think I found the boys around sort of with that age where they go into puberty quite challenging. Sort of, you know, their voice drops, they become very different beings.
Yeah.
Their energy really shifts. You know, it's, you just don't want to say the wrong thing. You want them to find their way naturally, and it's a tricky one.
Must be difficult as well when you've had that 5 under 5 and that closeness, especially with those hands in yours and things like that, those moments where you're so together. And when those hormones come in, even though you know it's a hormone, even though you know that, you know, I feel like I can see it with our eldest already, there's something brewing, which kind of starts in hormonally at this age. You can kind of feel a bit like, who are you? You're not a little sweet kid that, you know, used to just sit and paint with me and just, I was their world. You know, did you have to sort of say to yourself, this is a phase, they'll come back? Do you have to trust in that?
Yeah. And I think having four, you've got different stages at different ages. And Arlo is, he's come out of that, and he really loves my company, and he's applying for art school now. We're very similar. So it kind of comes back round.
Yeah.
I feel like these last 2 years of him being at home are the most important out of all of them. We want them to leave home as grounded and feeling as safe as they can. And the mistakes are so much bigger when they're older. You know, they're going to go to music festivals. They're going to do stuff. They're going to, you know, so it's very interesting. It's very, can't take your eye off the ball at all.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I find the hardest is Eli. He's little. He's still little. He's 7. But because he's got these older brothers, he doesn't want to do those little mummy things with me. Mm-hmm. He wants to be like the boys. You know, I'm like, can we paint? No, I want to play football with Arlo. Or, you know, I want to do what Merlin's doing. Or, it's like, oh my God, you know, if Robbie sometimes he'll take them away for the weekend, it's just me and Eli, and I get that lovely little sweet child back to myself, you know, and it's really precious and special.
I mean, I also feel like when children are growing up, they're so influenced by the children around them. And I do think when you've got three or four children, I think a large part of their influence does come from within the household and what their siblings are doing. But one thing we can never control is their friendship groups and how they are influenced by other things that are going on outside of your influence.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've been quite lucky with friendship groups. And the boys, they've chosen some really great mates. They've been at the same school as well since they started school. It goes all the way through to sixth form. And we left London for that reason, because I knew I was going to end up with, if we'd stayed in London, I think we left when Arlo was six, four and two. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I was going to have these three kids in three different schools, doing different things and different school runs, and my life was just going to be so all about school, and I wanted it to be about home and family time. And it's been really great for the kids growing up in the countryside. Really good. I mean, they're bored sometimes.
But boredom's a good thing. I think so often we worry about the boredom. And I know that you say that you were bored growing up, but, you know, like we were saying earlier with the iPads and things like that, there's so much now to fuel children's brains that actually it leaves no room for creativity and thought, because there's so much that you can be passively active in, you know, it's just there. So I like a little bit of boredom.
Yeah, no, me too. I love space and quietness and the nature. Yeah. I'm not often bored though. I think it's probably quite a luxury in when you've got three or four kids, isn't it, to be bored?
No. Yeah. How do you find the balance between you have a creative household, but there's also school, and with that comes homework and different pressures? And I don't know if yours had homework when they were younger, but sometimes, especially when time is short after school and before going to bed, for me, I feel like it goes completely against that idea of kids being kids and just being free to have homework. But there's homework, so we have to do it. But do you have to find time for that creativity, or to get that the pressures of homework and stuff done, so that they can just have that little bit of freedom?
Yeah, I mean, luckily Arlo is doing two art A levels, so that creativity is his homework. Merlin's doing his GCSEs at the moment, and one of them is art, so I'm kind of helping him with that. It is a juggle. The homework is so intense when they are you know, from 13 and up. Eli's age, I've learned not to get in a flap if him or any of the boys have been at the bottom of the class reading. The boys especially change so much. You know, Merlin was probably the last to read in his class at school till he was eight. And now he's really intelligent and super driven and, you know, a real entrepreneur. You just don't know. You can't call it. And I just don't think we should stress about it when they're little.
Do you feel like having the older three has had an impact on how you parent Eli, or like that, with the things that you worry about or don't?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, I wish I had more time for Eli, because the others are, the older they get, they kind of need more time. The problems are so much bigger. You know, not that they have problems, but, you know, the art homework takes a lot longer, or the application for uni, or they need to learn to drive, or, you know, if they fall out with a girlfriend, you know, they're upset.
Yeah, it's not something that they can just have a little moan about and a back rub and then go and get some ice cream. They need a bit more thought and care.
Yeah, no, they really do. Yeah.
So with the book that you've created, it's all about having that festival vibe, I guess, at home. So putting that into the everyday. What are your sort of top tips, I guess, in terms of that? Because me and Tom, we've been to a festival before, but we've never taken our kids. And every year I see friends of ours who have taken their kids and they look like they're having the best time ever. But I do think for us, it's because we have three feral boys that we're just a bit like, oh, it's a big thing. But they love being outside in the garden and, you know, looking for newts and frogs and all things like that.
Well, it's the perfect place for three feral boys. You won't yeah. feel like they're feral there. Yeah, sometimes I wish it wasn't called a festival or a music festival, because it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
It's a really brilliant creative gathering, and it's full of workshops to do and really like new stuff to try for the first time, you know, from textiles to sword making to headdress making, roller discos, rafting. It's just a real abundance of creativity.
Yeah.
I wanted to write the book to get this message across that there's so much you can do at home that doesn't cost any money, that's free, that you learn at the festival, but you cannot take it home, you know, and make juggling balls out of an old pair of tights and, you know, learn how to face paint and make a headdress arch with what's in the garden, or, you know, Eli's little activity is sticking acorns onto blue tack and drawing faces. I wanted to bring that crafty bohemian lifestyle into the home all year round.
Also, I think we can look at arts and crafts sometimes and think that it has to be elaborate and difficult in some way, but like you've just said with Eli's version of it, sometimes those things are the best, because the kids can just, they just love feeling like that's something that they can really control. They don't need any help with. They can be as creative as they like. So I do think that sometimes the easier options, sometimes the things that you don't kind of stress about, are the things that the kids really latch onto.
Yeah, really simple stuff. We have this one activity at Camp Bestival that the Woodland Tribe do, and it's this huge sculpture just with pieces of wood, slab wood, and the kids all have hammers and nails, and you literally see little boys there, all girls, just tapping nails for hours and hours and hours, and they're just in their absolute element, because they probably never pick up a hammer and nails at home, because they might not be allowed, or it's not in the cupboard. It's the real simple things, you know, making a new friend that's staying in the tent next to you, or trying some new food that you've bought from the Indian bazaar, or, you know, seeing your mum and dad a bit more relaxed than they are day to day is what's amazing about Camp Bestival, or when you're doing one of those activities at home.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that inner child out, isn't it, as a parent, and be relaxed and fun, Josie.
I don't think anyone really talks about the admin and the risk assessment that comes with parenting. You know, I think when you go into parenting, you think it's going to be full of cuddles and laughter and lovely times. But actually, there's so much that goes alongside that actually almost hides or clouds the stuff that you actually became a mother for. You know, there's just so much. So I imagine going to somewhere like Camp Bestival, it kind of alleviates all of that and just focuses on being in the present and, you know, experiencing it.
We've actually done all that risk assessing for the parents. You know, every activity is thoroughly risk assessed by our health and safety team. It's a very safe place. You know, the Lost Kids tents are all there, and the team that run that are amazing. They're really super friendly. No one can go anywhere.
Yeah.
There's loads to make and do, and yeah, I mean, hopefully you'll come along.
I'd love to. Yeah. Will McFly are headlining.
I know. Yeah, they are at both festivals, aren't they?
Yeah. So we'll have to. We definitely will. Absolutely. So one thing my kids do want to do, though, is camp in the garden, I do love a camping trip, but I haven't ever done it with my kids. So we're going to do it in the garden first. They tried to over the weekend, but it's February, and I only had one of those pop-up beach tents. So I let them stay outside with loads of blankets and hot water bottles until 8 o'clock, and then I was like, right, it's time to come in. So they had their little fix. But if you were to go on a camping trip, what are your, like, how? Basically, I guess, is my question. Camping with family. I've never done it, but I know that it's something that my kids want me to do.
Bell tents are brilliant if you can afford a bell tent. They're so big and spacious, and they just feel, and you can get some really brilliant ones for the same price as a nylon tent these days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think try and leave the iPads at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it really cozy, a nest for everyone, and not be too strict about bedtime.
Yeah.
No big expectations, I think.
I feel like you as a family have travelled a lot with the kids. Have you always done that? Have you never shied away from the travelling? Because I imagine you and Rob travelled a lot before kids.
Yeah, we travelled a lot, an awful lot. We travelled in India a lot. And we, as soon as we had kids, we kept the travelling going. And actually, when Miller was 4 and Merlin was 6 and Ollie was 8, we took them out of school for 10 weeks. It was Robbie's idea. I think he'd just come off Radio 1 and he had to be on the radio every week. He had to be somewhere. And he was like, look, it's finished now. Let's go. I have no commitments. You know, we can work online and be on the phone. And we went just before Christmas for 10 weeks around Asia. And the kids still now recall it. And it was the best thing we ever did.
Really?
It really shaped them. They learned so much. They did so much great stuff. You know, I homeschooled them a little bit. I made them all, you know, make books and about their journey. And yeah, we had the sweetest time.
I love that.
And also holidays are not, they're not that easy. You have really happy expectations and, you know, especially when they get older, they're arguing and bickering with each other. And you're like, for God's sake, you're in this really beautiful space. And
well, how do you manage that when they're older? Because obviously the ages that mine are, like I feel it in the summer holidays or any holidays, by a certain time in the morning, we need to be out of the house. Because if we are still in the house, they're going to be bickering. I just need to get them outside. So when they're older and bickering, Is it the same kind of rule? We're going out.
Yeah, got to keep them busy, boys especially. Because what's the point in spending money and going away and waking up and seeing them on their phones? It's awful.
Yeah.
And being that, you're just that nagging mum, aren't you?
Well, also then when they do have that time on their phones later on in the day, you probably get a sense of, we've done stuff today. This isn't the only thing they've done. They've had a really busy day and now this is a bit of their downtime, connecting with their mates, and it must feel sort of easier to come to terms with in that way.
Yeah, it's okay, isn't it, in the afternoon for a few hours. My lot all four of them love fishing as well.
Oh, we've just started fishing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Fishing's a good one though for boys. Keeps them quiet.
Absolutely. If you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
I think it would be for any parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that when someone tells you, it goes so quickly, it really does. Like, it's just like Arlo is 18 and it feels like yesterday I gave birth to him. And in September, he's going to be going to uni, hopefully. And it's just going to be like, wow, that was quick. That was so quick.
Yeah.
And I would also say that the teenage years are just so important and you don't realise. You think that you can maybe take your eye off the ball a little bit and let them do what they want or not, you know, not do what they want. But I just think that they're the most important years of their lives. You know, you want to see them move on happy and grounded and content, and you want them to come home, and you don't always see eye to eye with teenagers. You don't always feel like they like you, but they do. They absolutely love you. They can't help what they say sometimes.
You are going into a new chapter now, aren't you, with Arlo going off? How does that feel?
I'll be really sad. I will miss him deeply, not being around at home, because he's so lovely, but it's the right thing. It's kind of, you know, it happens. And it will give me more time for the others and new adventures, going to see him at in London, if he gets in to where he wants to go.
Yeah. But it's all change. It's a whole new phase that you have to kind of learn, this new way of being and, you know, but also that joy of when they come home for the holidays and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, in 4 years' time, three of my children are going to be 18 and will possibly have left home. I mean, that is mad. I've been in this mad parenting bubble for so long and then it's over.
Well, and also because of the gap, I imagine having Eli would have kept you in this younger bit You have been in there, a version of having someone under 10 for a long period of time as well.
Yeah, to not have an under 10 is also going to be really odd for me, a little one.
Yeah, saying goodbye to primary school.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Actually, I wonder if that will hit, you know, when Eli, if Eli leaves home or goes to uni, whatever, or when, because they will leave home. But, you know, I wonder if I guess they'll all hit in different ways, won't they? The first and the last. It will always be.
And I will be older. You know, I might be really ready for my own space by then and ready to go and do something new and crazy. And you don't know, do you? So.
Could you please complete these three sentences? The first one is, being a mum means.
I get to hang out with fun, creative boys and learn something new every day.
Since having children, I've
created festivals and events for families, and I've taken them all to every event I've ever done.
And finally, the last sentence is, I'm happy when.
Oh, when I'm at home in the kitchen with all the kids.
I love that sort of family time and food time. I absolutely love it. And I think I loved it growing up. Like I loved, you know, we used to have such big family dinners where all the aunts and uncles would come and then everyone would bring a plate. So I do think a certain part of me does love the chaos and loves the chaos that's going to come as they get older and there's more people to be there as well.
Yeah. And you want to be that house that I do anyway, that your kids' friends are welcome in, and there's always food for anyone that steps through the door, and they're made to feel welcome.
That's amazing. Do you feel like you've had to lean into the chaos?
Yeah, I embrace it, but I do have moments where I just have to go sit downstairs.
Yeah.
I often have a bath at 7 o'clock in the evening, so I'm ready for Eli's bedtime. I've sort of prepared myself, and then Miller's, and then Merlin, and, you know, their homework. And I just need a bit of a breather.
I love that. Josie, thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope that was okay.
It was delightful. Thank you so much. And what you've created with Camp Bestival is just amazing. I really enjoyed reading the book. I really did. It was also just nice seeing snippets of Camp Bestival over the years, but also the different voices from people who've had an input or an impact on your life as well.
Oh, aren't they great? We've got such amazing people in our lives that come to the shows every year, and they're so supportive. You know, Sarah Cox and Joe Wiley and Fatboy Slim. They're just lovely, lovely beings, and they've all, enjoyed the journey with us. So, your turn next.
I know. I can't wait.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.